This is Rock and Roll English. Real people, real English. Here's your host, Martin Johnston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rock and Roll English, episode number 327, baby. And today we have an absolutely amazing podcast, a podcast I've wanted to do for a while, which is like the meaning behind some of the phrases, expressions that you will read, especially in emails in a business context. As sometimes these expressions may sound and seem nice, but there is a hidden meaning behind them, which is not so nice. So the person I talked to today is Rob from the Business English Podcast. Rob is someone who worked in the corporate business world for a long time and is now using that experience to teach English. You can check him out at energeticenglish.com, but all links obviously will be in the show notes where you can go and find out more about him. So we're going to jump to the episode in a minute. Just one thing, kind of in the middle somewhere after about 10 minutes, we had some technical problems. For some reason, my microphone just completely switched off and we lost my audio. So I've added a couple of bits in there just so you can understand what's going on. It's only a little bit of the podcast. It's really not very long, so it won't cause you too much disruption. But anyway, here is the podcast, me talking to Rob about these expressions. Remember, as always, if you have any difficulty understanding any of the conversation, remember to check out my course, Jungle Listening, which is the only course on the market which transforms fast spoken jungle English into something simple and learnable. Anyway, here is the conversation with Rob. Happy listening. So, hello, Rob, and welcome to Rock and Roll English.
Hi, Martin. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for coming on. Very excited to have you here. So, as mentioned in the intro, Rob has a business English podcast. Is that right, Rob?
That's correct. Yes, we're all things business English.
Okay. So, again, I don't think we've had any business podcast people. Good description there on the podcast before. But I thought this is a great opportunity to use, well, to do a podcast, which I have been meaning to do for a while, which is to take some phrases we use in emails in English, which often have a hidden meaning. Okay. Yeah. You okay with this?
Yes. Yeah. This is going to be a scream. I really think this is a great idea.
And I have actually added a couple more things which you may see in the UK if you live here that people may write and you may be confused about the meaning. But we'll start with these business ones, okay? Because we've all been in a business environment, you're sending emails especially, and I think most of these phrases we have seen, at least seen, or also used, okay? So let's have a chat about them. Okay, sure. So number one. So, for example, you send me an email and then I respond to you, Rob, and I say, yeah. For example, correct me if I am wrong, yes. But we discussed this in the meeting last week, for example. Yeah. So that correct me if I'm wrong. What hidden message is there in there for you, Rob?
I think it's quite a good one, you know, to open with because you're immediately having to read between the lines here. I know that you think you're not in the wrong immediately. Please don't try to challenge your opinion. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to correct you, and I know you're not wrong. So, yes.
No, I totally agree. Exactly that. I am telling you, look, Rob, I am correct. I think you used the perfect phrase there. Don't try to challenge me. Okay.
Yes.
Like, yeah. This is it. Well, would you go further and try to challenge someone?
I think this is where you have to be subtle. Somebody says, correct me if I'm wrong. I would take a line of agreement initially. And then if there was anything else to add, I would politely and subtly add it maybe to the end and say, in addition to your thoughts on the subject, we might need to consider X, Y, and Z. but not a straight confrontation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think sort of seniority comes into it, doesn't it? Because if you got that from your manager, you'd be like, okay, like this, we're not messing around here. But I know it sounds horrible, but if you're in a more of a senior position and someone in a less senior position has said this to you and you still think you're in the right, it would be like, look, who's the boss here?
Who is the boss? Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. I would feel if somebody sent me this sort of thing, I would think, well, I'm now going to question my own facts and figures. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I'm almost being challenged to an extent.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I mean, lots of these, I must admit, I'm not 100% sure. In fact, I would use that phrase.
Yeah.
But for me, I wouldn't actually be using it in a sort of aggressive way, in this passive aggressive way. I would, that would be my kind of polite way of saying, you are wrong.
Yeah.
And I think this is right. How about you? Would you use this? Would you use this in an email?
Yeah, I think I would. But like we've mentioned previously about context being important. You've got to pick your audience, definitely know who you're speaking to. Like you previously mentioned about seniority or, you know, the caliber of individual that you're speaking to. But very interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd use it, but pick your audience.
Absolutely. So this next one for me, this is strong. Okay, so the next one is, as per our earlier conversation on the matter. So again, just to give some context, so maybe Rob has said to me, what time is the meeting later? And I respond, as per our earlier conversation on the matter, the meeting is at 3 p.m. What are you thinking there?
You are telling me that I missed it first time. Or second time, or however many times you've heard the information, as per our previous conversation, it's a reminder, isn't it? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I find this one really aggressive. I find this one look, basically the message I would be trying to send you, I must admit, this is one I would never use, I don't think, because I wouldn't want to be this aggressive.
Yeah.
I know it actually doesn't, maybe to someone that doesn't fully understand, doesn't seem so aggressive, but for me this is. So the message I received there is, you're an idiot, we've spoken about this, stop bothering me.
If it's in response, I would say absolutely, somebody say to you, as per our previous conversation, like, this is not the first time you've heard this, Rob. Pin them back, big lad. You know, understand this. But you could say in a, again, context and framing here, but if you were in the middle of a conversation, you could say, as per our previous conversation on my podcast, we've already talked about this, which I think is interesting. I guess you could sprinkle some sugar on top just to take the edges off. Absolutely. I find this quite passive aggressive in a way.
Yeah, 100%. And I have received that email a few times, and I must admit, there's nothing more demoralizing than that.
Yeah.
Or as per my previous email, and I just think, oh shit, I forgot about that. And it's just like, the most demoralizing thing. You just think, I really am an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
So the next one, this is quite an interesting one. So this is like your email sign off, okay? Because I see so many of these. So I've just written a few here of ones that I often see. So maybe you don't use any of these. I actually forgot to check on your emails that maybe we exchanged. So kind regards, regards, best, and yours. Yeah. What are your opinions about these?
Full transparency here. I sign off my emails with best.
Really?
I'm a bit funny about this because there is kind regards and warm regards and yours faithfully, yours sincerely, yours. And I feel personally that best is nice and clean, but I have a feeling of where you're going to take this now. And I'm willing to listen, Martin. I'm willing to listen.
So this is the bit I told you about earlier where we had some technical difficulties. So I responded to Rob saying that he signs off his emails with best, by saying I was quite surprised by that, because I personally don't really understand what that means. Are we saying best wishes, best regards, you are the best person in the world, today is the best day ever? I'm not 100% sure, but I also did mention that I think this whole thing is a matter of style, because I see a lot of people sign off their emails saying best. So maybe I am the strange one because I don't like it. I'm not sure. And this is what Rob had to say.
Yes, I'll take that. I'll need to have a look at my revise some remedial email training for myself, I think. I see a lot of kind regards. I think kind regards is a nice middle ground. It's not too much, it's not too little, it, you know, it shows that you're paying attention.
So on the subject of kind regards, I said that is how I like to sign off my emails, because regards is just quite cold, I think. I like to give kind regards. And then I went on to say that one thing I really don't understand is when people sign off saying yours. It actually makes me think that it's maybe even a sexual thing, like I am yours.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. That's what I'm thinking. You know, you're like yours. I'm thinking, it's not, you know, it's a client. I'm not going to write this.
So from here, the conversation didn't really go anywhere. I just emphasized again how much I hated the sign off best.
No, I picked it up, you know, probably my previous career. A lot of people, like, you know, emailing very fast, sharp messages around each other. This is before the time that Slack and everyone was conducting stuff on WhatsApp. You know, you're receiving many emails a day. Maybe it's a speed thing. You're showing that you're not just, because I think worse than best is not writing anything at all. You know, have a good day. Have you done this email? We'll see you on Monday, Martin. So, ooh. I'm in trouble. I'll wear my gum shield and helmet to this meeting.
Now, at this point, I agreed with Rob that no sign-off sometimes is not the best, but I also questioned this. I mean, what's the point? It's like when I send you a message on WhatsApp, if I know you, obviously, you have my number, so I don't need to write my name at the end of that message. And it's the same with emails. Sure, if I'm emailing you for the first time, then I can do the whole kind regards, Martin. But if we know each other, is it necessary for me to write kind regards, Martin, when you already have my email address? I think we need to change this email stuff. So then we went ahead with another one, which is thanks in advance. So for example, hi, Rob, can you finish this report for me by Monday? Thanks in advance. So let's see what Rob thinks of this. And one more thing, this is the last time of me doing this. The podcast goes back to normal now. Okay, so let's see what Rob thinks of thanks in advance.
Don't pressurize me. You know, it's... for me, this one is like, well, you know, it's forceful. It's really forceful, you know. Thanks in advance. It's like, hey, calm down. No one's agreed to anything, you know. You're not going to wait for my response. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks in advance. It's sharp, though, isn't it? I mean, I really feel the intensity of that statement. You know, do this thing. Thanks in advance. No, you, I mean, you take the edges off. You could say something like, well, you know, I appreciate your time with this. You know, this is going to be great for the team, or the outcome is going to be awesome. Really appreciate your time you're putting in. You know, something else to take the edge off. But thanks in advance. It's like, that stings.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. Again, not something that I would write, because I just find the whole thing very strange there.
Yeah.
But so on to the next one, which is friendly reminder. What do you think? So again, an example. So Rob, just a friendly reminder. You said you were going to send me that report. We've had lots of reports on this podcast already.
Yes.
Like just a friendly reminder to send me that report. What are you thinking?
I want to know who you are. Like, are you a senior or are you a junior? Do you work for me? Because that's the worst one, I think, if somebody says a friendly reminder and that, you know, they're an employee.
Well, I actually I must admit, I get lots of friendly reminders, and I actually quite enjoy them because I need them, because I'm just not very well organized. Yeah. But I think you can only have one friendly reminder. After they've sent one, then it's not really friendly anymore. But okay, to give you some context, then let's say I'm your equal, okay, and I give you a friendly reminder. What do you think?
To your point, it's friendly first time. Mm. Friendly reminder. Could you just say that you've forgotten?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get right on that. And I think the word choice or the vocabulary is important here as well, because you can have a polite reminder.
Yeah.
Really not the same as friendly. I mean, polite is even, I would say, less polite than a friendly reminder.
I was
paradoxically.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I hadn't actually thought about that, but you're right. Yeah, a polite reminder is less polite than a friendly. There's something about the word friendly. Obviously, it's friendly. Yes. It's like, I like that word. But polite is. So, I don't like this. Yeah, or even just a reminder, then that's just like, this is serious now. Like, this person's annoyed. I've forgotten, and this person is annoyed. But I like a friendly
reminder. A friendly reminder is pretty good. Yeah, I like that one.
Absolutely. Okay, what about this one? Again, something which lots of people write when you obviously don't know who you're writing to, and then you write to whom it may concern. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, okay. So we see this a little bit. I mean, maybe not so much in the email world, digital world now.
Yeah.
It's mega formal.
But although you're emailing for a job, for example, like it says maybe send an email to info@job.com.
Yes. To whom it may concern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a blanket email. Like, I don't know who's going to pick this up. Yeah, I would still. I was sending out some emails on behalf of a charity recently, and I went round this boy a number of times, like, to whom it may concern. No, that's just a little bit too much. We need to be a bit more like open armed here. So, good afternoon or greetings or good morning. No, find something else, because I think it can be quite square. This statement. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I totally agree. I absolutely hate it. Again, I think maybe it's a sort of taste thing. Because there's nothing bad if you write that. No one's going to be offended, but I hate it as well. So, for example, when I have applied for jobs, I would write, "Dear hiring manager." That's one I remember I got that from somewhere, and I thought, that's a good idea. Just something like "dear job title." I would definitely use. But a lovely example you slipped in there, Rob, of I was doing something for a charity. Just makes you look like such a good Samaritan.
I wasn't name dropping. I was trying to set some context there about, okay, I need to be mega friendly because I'm working for a charity. To whom it may concern, I think that's ice cold. And
yeah, I agree. Horrible.
We're past sending things by carrier pigeon, mostly.
absolutely. Horrible one. I hate it. So here are a couple. So something which, again, just seems standard now. So, okay, we'll do this one at a time. So I'm sending you an email.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm reaching out to you, and I would say, let's keep like a formal situation. Let's say we've met like once and I have to ask you for a report like usual.
Yeah.
And so I say, "Dear Rob," and then you often see now, "I hope you're well."
Yes.
Is that something you like to include a lot?
But it's like, it's an involuntary response, isn't it?
I agree. It's not really.
It's like, "I hope you're well. I hope this finds you well. I hope, you know, something is going well."
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I hope this email finds you well. That's the other one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of emails finding people well. And I feel that we could potentially improve this opening line. Don't ask me what. Context, again, is important. But "I hope this finds you well." It is so generic. It may as well not exist on the email.
Yeah.
But if it's not there, things start to feel prickly quite quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I find myself writing this a lot, because again, if I just say, "Dear Rob, have you got the report, or could you please send me the report? It's kind of like he's just jumping straight in there.
That's it.
But if you like break that with like, you know, dear Rob, I hope you're well, or hope this email finds you well. I was just wondering if you could send me that report. It's like you've been eased into it, haven't you? That's it's not it. Just sort of like someone just coming, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, give me the report. So it's one of those things which doesn't really make much sense, but something that I do. The flip side to this, I suppose, so I've sent you that, dear Rob, I hope you're well, have you got the report, blah blah blah, and a common response would be, for example, dear Martin, thank you for your email, is that one you use?
Yes, you know, thank you for your email, thanks for your contact, thanks for reaching out, it's great to hear from you. Like, there needs to be some padding before we get into the meat.
I agree, but it's just one of those ones again, which you know, you're really thinking, oh, for God's sake, he's bloody asking for that report again. But you have to be polite. Thanks thank you for your email. It was so lovely receiving an email about you asking me for a report.
I'm
so thankful.
I'm so thankful. I would say it was about this. I hope this finds you well. Finding a different way to say this is, you know, contextual to your, where are you in time? Is it the start of the week? Is it just after the weekend? At the end of the week? You know, I hope the week's treating you well. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope the Easter holidays are going well. Good to see you're back, you know, whatever. But just shading it maybe, and just not making emails find people well, would be a good move.
Yeah, because it's such a strange thing to say, isn't it? Like, but I hope this email finds you well. But but there we go. But yeah, I certainly at the end of the email, when, because you can't, even then when you're getting towards the end, you can't even just go straight with your regards or best. Sometimes you have to, you slowly come in towards the end, aren't you? So for example, enjoy the rest of the week.
Yeah,
kind regards. Martin, for example, or have a great weekend if it's a Friday.
Have a great weekend.
I like that. I like the word great. So for example, I've had before, have a good weekend. But that's not, it's not the same, is it? If someone's asked, if someone's saying have a great weekend, you're thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be good. So one to finish up on, which I think is quite quite relevant these days, because I think it is coming in now, like emojis, smiley faces. Do you ever use them?
I do, but with a select community. I wouldn't, if you know, cold emails, people I'm working with,
of course,
spam straight away. Promotions folder, I think Google calls it now. You know, we're putting in the promotions folder, spam. And I think this, it's a maybe a poor indicator of lack of judgment. I was working with a client recently who, you know, didn't know their clients very well, and the client starts responding with lots of you know, symbols, and it just killed the entire relationship. The business deal went sideways because there was a misalignment of, well, we're going to do this respectfully, and you're sending me, you know, high fives and thumbs up and okay signs, and it just the deal went sideways just because of the misalignment of where you are in terms of communication. So I think, again, context, read the room. But what about yourself? What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, again, if you don't know someone very well, the time I find myself thinking I need to use one is if someone said something to me, I mean, generally, obviously, like more personal relationships, which they think I might be angry about.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I can't come tonight. We were supposed to go out tonight, but I can't come anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if it was a really close friend, I would say like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, but if it was some not that close friend, and I would probably respond like, oh, don't worry, smiley face. But like to say, I'm really not bothered about this. In fact, I'd probably think, oh, thank God I don't have to go out. Like, I was just gonna have to get dressed and go out, and now I don't have to. But I would that's the time I would use it to like show I'm not angry. And there is the thing now, especially when you're using your phone, you've also got to choose the type of smiley face, because there are different smiles. There's like all teeth. You showing the teeth?
Yeah.
It's just the smile. It's
yeah. They're nuanced now, aren't they? You've really got to pick your weapon carefully. But and some of them can be interpreted badly. I mean, we must do another episode on emoji sort of interpretations. What people think, because people can send these symbols and they come across in very different ways.
Mm.
Yeah, you're smiling, frowning, melting, dead. It can escalate quite quickly.
Yeah, it did. And I again had this in Italy once where I used the emoji of like a fist, which I see as sort of like power, strength.
Yeah.
That in Italy is like sex. And that was absolutely not my intention.
not a good one.
No, absolutely not. But but yeah, as you said, we'll have to record another podcast another day to tackle that subject. But before you go, Rob, tell people where they can find out more about you.
Yeah, sure thing. We're over at thebusinessenglishpodcast.com or .co.uk either, and you'll find us there.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Rob, for your time, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me, Martin. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Okay, so that was me talking to Rob about the real meaning of lots of expressions in English. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I certainly did. I hope you learned something as well. What's better than that, hey? Enjoying a podcast and learning something. So, vocabulary, that's normally what we do at this stage of the podcast, but this podcast was a bit longer than usual. Normally, it's 20 minutes of conversation and then the vocab bit at the end. We actually did 25 minutes of conversation. So the vocab recap is going to happen in the members area, the Rock and Roll English Family membership area. That is, if you are interested in joining that, which means you get access to more than 1,000 extra podcasts. You get to build a personal relationship with me and with people, wonderful people from all around the world. Go to rockandrollenglish.com and then click become a member. So thanks everyone for listening. I will talk to you all very soon. But in the meantime, just keep on rocking, baby.
Thanks so much for listening to Rock and Roll English. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit rockandrollenglish.com and facebook.com/rockandrollenglish. We'll catch you next time.